Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, these indictments, where do we even begin?
No one surprised by these indictments. Some people are a little bit surprised by the speed of them. And the reason they had to come out was the anti-Mueller steamroller was beginning to pick up a little bit of steam, even in the Congress. So Mueller had to act fairly quickly, and Manafort was in his sights all along. But remember, his charge is to determine what happened between the Russians and the campaign. It doesn't say the Republican campaign, but the campaign. So bringing Manafort, he had to have some indictments in that case, not just on the money laundering and other charges, but something related to the campaign. That's why there are two indictments about acts against the United States. So someone said something that may lead us on a trail that Manafort was either acting, because it could be that he was on a Russian payroll when he came to run the campaign, or he assisted someone in Russia. So I think that's the headline there, that there is something other than him laundering money.
So speaking about what we know so far, as you mentioned there, Paul Manafort, he's not really a surprise. He's Trump's former campaign manager who we already knew was in some hot water and obviously very close ties to Trump himself. He's got 12 charges, I believe, including conspiracy against the United States and money laundering, which I think is very interesting, given we are looking into the financials. How does it reflect on Trump, though?
Well, the money laundering reflects on Trump in several ways, but let's get to the easiest one. Trump has been using Russian cutouts to make investments in his organization, even Trump Tower. So the Trump Tower has been used for years, and it's well known as a place where apartments could be bought by unnamed parties and sold to unnamed parties, and money can trickle into the United States. And I think we're going to find Mr. Kushner dragged into this. So it could be that by establishing the notion of money laundering as one vehicle used by the Russians to get their whole hands on people, that is, we'll rat on you because you've laundered money for us, is a way of showing collusion occurred as a result of people being pressed. And by being pressed, they committed acts of treason.
Richard Gates is in a similar position to Manafort, but the real dark horse here is George Papadopoulos, a former unpaid foreign policy advisor most people were not aware of, who it turns out has pleaded guilty and been cooperating with the FBI for months. What can you tell us about George?
Before we get to George, let me just mention two other things. First of all, by these money laundering charges and tax evasion charges, what Mueller's done is quite clever. These are state laws that have been broken. So the president may want to pardon these guys, but if the state of New York or if Virginia or any other state lays claim to these money laundering charges, then Gates and Manafort are in deep trouble and the president can't get them out. That's why they said at the opening there was no collusion. That was a signal to the president, hey, get us out of this. The other thing is their wives signed their tax returns. So I would anticipate that there's going to be pressure on both of them to turn over some state's evidence or their wives go to jail for long-term sentences. So this is a very, very clever strategy. Now, turning to Mr. Papadopoulos. Great Greek name. I think goes back in history among Greeks who've been involved in all kinds of things. Mr. Papadopoulos was a fringe player, but he may also have been a courier. That is, they used him because he didn't have a high profile to move messages between the Russians, who are a bit shadowy. There are all kinds of names that pop up here and there, lawyers, this woman who was talking about children, and so forth. So the spy business never has a bunch of people who wear signs on their vest, "I'm a spy," but people who have relatively direct, legitimate credentials. As a result, these people interface with other people who have legitimate credentials. Papadopoulos was one of those people. So Papadopoulos was wearing the aura of being a campaign official, but not central to the campaign. There have been direct emails between Papadopoulos and people at the top of the campaign. So I think they're going to run those trails so that some people are going to come forward to save their own necks.
So would that make Papadopoulos bait in Mueller's strategy, as some have suggested?
Papadopoulos really has an interesting position here because he was a low-level person, he could talk to an awful lot of people in the campaign. And during that period from June until he was signaled to be indicted, he has done that. And some people will decide it's in their best interest to turn state's evidence before they're in a position where they're indicted.
Now, the White House has been desperate to distract away from all this happening. The Uranium One Clinton-Russia conspiracy, which has been all over right-wing media, boosted by Trump, is frankly point-blank ridiculous and embarrassingly easy to disprove. But Fox News in particular, they've been all over it, reporting on it very, very muchly in comparison to their reporting on the actual indictments. So what is your feeling on these diversions? Are they working in any way for Trump?
No, but they're filling up the news with other things other than the indictments. And that's what they want to do, and throwing aspersions on other people. Now, clearly, the President of the United States doesn't have the opportunity or the right to sell anything to anyone. These are congressional approvals, and the president simply implements them. He's acting like the president has the authority to do anything he wants. He's discovering he doesn't have that authority. Remember, he said he was going to fix Obamacare. Hasn't been fixed. He said he was going to block aliens from coming to the United States. That hasn't happened. So the president operates within a system. And so anyone who knows anything about government knows this is just a bunch of BS. Fox News is caught here because they got to report on something, and they don't want to report on any of this.
So who is next for Mueller? If these indictments are going through, who is next?
Well, I think we might be surprised here. The next indictments may be some people who are currently working in the White House and people who did work in the White House. So Priebus could be one of these next indictments. Priebus might well have been aware of some of the things that were going on, and he might cooperate with the FBI and say, "This is what I knew." And the FBI will say, "Well, you should have told us at the time, so you're guilty of fill in the blank. Now, we make that charge very light on you. Tell us more." And there are other people. There's a woman, I forget her name, Holly something, who was a longtime aide to Trump and who was in the airplane. And she's the one who drafted the correspondence. And this is on the record. She is being questioned now. Now, she will be questioned about more than the airplane. And she might be indicted because sending that information out to young Trump was an offense. That is obstructing the course of justice. So she might have to take that fall for Trump and Trump Jr. But in doing so, she might also give over evidence. Trump's chauffeur has been called in. He must have heard an awful lot of things. So they're going after the little fish and letting them setting the plate so that they can go after the big fish by saying, "Here's the evidence against you. What do you have to say? And if you don't cop a plea, we're not just going to go after you. We're going to go after everyone in your family, basically. That's the scary part. Trump is trying to get out of town before that happens. But you can be sure either sometime around Christmas or just before, this will all play out.
And just before we let you go, Ed, I did want to touch on the New York terror attacks. Now, this has seen eight people, in the kind of tradition that we see in a lot of terror attacks at the moment, eight people mowed down by a moving vehicle, killed, incredibly tragic circumstances. As I was saying to you before the program, it's the worst terror attack New York has seen since September 11, which is something of a relief. We haven't seen more terror in New York since September 11. What have you made of the response to this one? In fact, most recently, we were obviously looking at treating the individual who committed this act as a enemy combatant. That idea has now been abandoned, sending him to Guantanamo Bay as an enemy combatant. But what have you made of the response so far to the terror attack?
Well, New York has made a very fine response to it. And the man is in custody, and he can be tried on multiple charges, including murder, premeditated murder, because he's planned this for a year. However, the president has interfered with the conduct of justice by saying that the man should be executed. By saying that, the district attorney's hands are now tied on the death penalty, because if he offers that up, the defense will say, hold on here, this man can't get a fair trial. The president of the United States has said he should be put to death. That's unfair, and I wish that to be put aside, and the judge would have to. So I think we have a situation here where the president, trying to save himself, has interfered with justice. This doesn't have anything to do with the course of justice of being president, but it does show a lack of fitness for the presidency. And I suspect in the not-too-distant future, there will be an outcry within the Republican Party for him to just shut up. Lastly, he is now trying to pass a bill, not him, the Congress is, on financial relief, tax changes. And these tax changes will hit the middle class in order to make the upper class richer. And this will be a hard pill to swallow for an awful lot of people. So the very people who voted for him may have to pay higher taxes so that richer people can have more riches. We'll see where that goes. I think McCain will raise holy heck in the Senate over this one.
Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.